Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jaipur conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 21st Chapter, 23rd Verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable time and association this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over the call Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 21st चैप्टर 23rd वर्स तस्यमेतदनुष्ठानात् यानाहुर्ब्रह्मवादिनः लोकास्यु कामसंदोहा यस्या तुष्टति दृष्टद्रक् Prithu Maharaj said, Maharaj Prithu said, I think that upon execution of my duties as a king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objects described by experts in the Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of all destiny. Maharaj Prithu gives special stress to word Brahma Vadinaha by the experts in Vedic knowledge. Brahma refers to the Vedas, which is also known as Shabda Brahma or Transcendental Sound. Transcendental Sound is not ordinary language. Although it appears to be written in ordinary language, evidence from the Vedic literature should be accepted as final authority. In the Vedic literature, there is much information, and of course there is information about the execution of a king's duty. A responsible king who executes this appointed duty by giving proper protection to all living entities on this planet is promoted to the heavenly planetary system. This is also dependent upon the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. It is not that as if one executes his duty properly, he is automatically promoted. For promotion depends upon the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It must ultimately be concluded that one can achieve the desired result of his activities upon satisfying the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Atap Pumbir Dvija Sreshta Varunashrama Vibhagachaha. So it says the perfection of one's execution of his appointed duties is the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. The word kama sandoha means achievement of desired result. Everyone desires to achieve the ultimate goal of life. But in modern civilization, the great scientists think that man's life has no plan. The gross ignorance is very dangerous and makes civilization very risky. People do not know the laws of nature, which are the rulings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are atheists of the first order, they have no faith in the existence of God and His rulings, and therefore do not know how nature is working. The gross ignorance of the mass of people, including even the so-called scientists and philosophers, makes life a risky situation in which human beings do not know whether they are making progress in life. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are simply progressing to the darkest region of the material existence, Adanta Gobir Vishitamta Mishram. The Krishna Consciousness Movement has therefore been started to give philosophers, scientists and people in general the proper knowledge about the destiny of life. Everyone should take advantage of this moment and learn the real goal of life. So, here, Parikshit Maharaj, sorry, Prithu Maharaj is saying that I think that upon the execution of my duties as a king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objects described by experts in Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of all destiny. So we should understand that ultimately everything everything is ultimately sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is very, very difficult to accept that somebody is a leader, somebody is, you know, in this position or that position. And Srila Prabhupada explains here very beautifully, by way of chance or by way of destiny or by way of our karma, we will be provided an opportunity to take some kind of leadership role. And certainly here Prithu Maharaj has got a leadership role. And he says, if I execute my devotional service nicely, then I will go to the heavenly planets. Then I will get the, according to what is given by the Shruti. So according to what is given by the Shruti. So the Shruti, the scriptures define, just like, if you, what is the constitution meant for? So constitution defines the scope of the government and the working of the government. So similarly, the Vedas, they describe everyone's dharma, so to speak. And we see that Brahma, who lived 100 lives as, who lived 100 lives in Varnashrama, in perfect Varnashrama dharma, he actually becomes Brahma. Only he can become Brahma, who lives 100 lives. And so ultimately, even though he may do what he is supposed to do, but ultimately it is the Supreme Lord who has to give the result. So only when the Supreme Lord gives the result. So I was asking Adi Purush Prabhu, everyone who stays in Hare Krishna temple, everyone who becomes devotee, everyone who takes initiation, will they go back to Godhead? Will they go back to Godhead? Will they, within this life, will they go back to Godhead? So he said, Prabhupada said that many of the devotees, many of his disciples, many devotees will go to heavenly planets. I was very surprised when he said that. And he said that it is not that simply that you have taken initiation. It is not that simply you have joined the temple. It is not that simply you have taken to this process that you will actually become successful, that you will actually go back to Godhead within this very life. The when you, the only time you can go to Godhead within this very life is you have done devotion as per the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the goal of Krishna consciousness, if you really see, what is the ultimate, what is the actual desire of the soul, so the ultimate success of the soul is when the soul actually connects in desire with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever is the desire of Guru, whatever is the desire of Krishna, you act as per that. So that is why there are three kinds of devotees. The first class devotee, first class disciple is the one who understands the mind of Guru and acts accordingly. The second class disciple is one who knows Guru's mind, one who Guru has to explain. He doesn't have the intelligence to understand automatically. Guru has to explain explicitly, then force him to act in that way. So that is the second class. But the third class is one who does something in the name of devotion, whatever he wants to do. And then he offers it. Then he says, oh, please take this offering. Means he forces the Guru to accept. For example, many a times Prabhupada said, don't take divorce. Prabhupada was very much against divorce. And then one devotee was taking divorce. Prabhupada instructed, don't take divorce. It is very wretched. Don't do it. It's not, how can you love Krishna when you are, you know, fighting like this? It's an absurd thing. You cannot love Krishna when you don't have the basic tolerance. You cannot keep your marriage together. So at that point of time, of course, each case varies. But in general, Prabhupada was against divorce.
and there can be, you know, many different situations every case, but in general Prabhupada said one should not take divorce. But when devotees actually did that and this devotee said, I am taking divorce, Prabhupada finally he gave permission. Why? Because Prabhupada knew that if he prevents this devotee from taking divorce, he will do it anyway and this will become guru aparadha, because going against the instructions of the guru. So when somebody goes against the instructions and displeases guru and Krishna, so no matter he might have done some endeavor, but that endeavor is, you get the result according to the degree. You know, you have to please the Lord. Ultimately the Lord should be pleased. So we might do a big festival. Just like they say, somebody donates something for aggrandizing himself, for spreading his name. We might do a big festival and we might do everything, but ultimately we are doing it. For example, in many places we find programs are organized to collect donations and this and that, and at that time you have to do certain things to please donors, to please this, that, and collect some money, and so many things are done. But is that pleasing Krishna? Is that pleasing to the devotees? Is that pleasing to the Lord? So ultimately you might get your result. You might get money, you might get this, you might get that. So ultimately it's not that everything that happens, every activity that happens is something that pleases Krishna in a temple. Every activity that devotees do, it is not that everything is approved by Shastra and that gives pleasure to the devotees, to the Lord. What gives pleasure to the devotees? What gives pleasure to the Lord? That which is sanctioned by the Lord, that which is sanctioned by Guru, and that by which even if you do something, understanding the mind of the Lord, and you inevitably do it, and you offer it to the Lord. Now the first thing that Srila Prabhupada wanted was that all of us chant offenselessly and study Srimad Bhagavatam systematically, because the greatest change one can bring about is the change of one's character. When one becomes mature, full of wisdom, change in character and purifies his heart, and it, with a pure heart, understanding, first of all, Srila Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to study. That's why Prabhupada instituted Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Sarvabhavam, all these courses. And until and unless you study very, very deeply, you humble yourself, and with this knowledge you apply the teachings, you know, in the association of very senior devotees. So Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us. So how many of us are actually spending serious time studying Srila Prabhupada's books? Srila Prabhupada wanted that if we study. And especially he wanted, if you see his letter, and Srila Prabhupada said that we will institute this Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Sarvabhav, and Srila Prabhupada would say, once this is instituted, once they pass out, once they actually study these books, and then we will make them spiritual masters. So it is not that we study only, but we also have to apply these teachings and cultivate our heart. Cultivate our heart. So our heart is full of anartha. So a devotee should come, we should come to the stage of anartha nivritti. So anartha grows, we give up. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. But there is also subtle anartha. Very difficult to give up. And that subtle anarthas are even in the stage of sannyas, it could be there. It is very, very difficult to go. But devotion is not a small thing. Devotion is not an ordinary thing. Devotion is not something which is, like Prabhupada said, it is not very, very cheap. Every devotee has to really, really study. There is nothing that is not covered in Srila Prabhupada's books. And everyone must make an endeavor to study them very, very seriously, systematically. And when you seriously study and apply, so that is why, if you see here, the first thing that Prithu Maharaj is saying, that as said in the scripture, so why is he giving scriptural evidence? And if you see, and as in the scripture, he says, so the scripture is very, very important to understand. So he's saying, if I execute my duty, execute my duty as per the scripture and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so all these things should be there. So whatever you do, whatever we try to do, so basically what the scripture do, especially reading Srimad Bhagavatam, molds our mind completely. So that is very, very important, because everything that you do, if you see, in the book Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada gives in the first verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that the progress of one, a devotee's progress in devotional service is dependent on his attitude. So how do you get the right attitude of humility? Sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada, how do we become humble? The Prabhupada said, be humble. And many times we want to have the right attitude, we want to have the right outlook, but how do you mold your mind in that way? So just like Srila Prabhupada says, that when you put, when you keep iron in fire for a long time, it becomes like fire. So similarly, if you expose your heart and mind, so there is no difference between heart and mind, because mind is in the heart. So when you expose your heart and mind, heart, to the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you sincerely expose it to the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you purify the heart, when you completely expose it, what does it do? What does the Srimad Bhagavatam do? Radhyan tasto hi avadrani vidunoti suhrat satam. So this removes all that is undesirable. So what is affecting our heart, what is affecting our mind, what is affecting our attitude is our previous experiences, previous frustrations, previous samskaras. So that is why they say, janmanam jayate shudra, means what happens is we all have bad habits, bad experiences, bad thoughts, bad impressions or previous impressions from our previous life. But he says, samskarat bhavet dvijaha. So what does it mean? By samskara, one gets a new birth. Means, actually, you are defined by your character. And in spiritual life, what you are is your personality, your character. Right? So, samskarat bhavet dvijaha. So in the next life, so you get a birth in the same body. You get a rebirth within the same body. Samskarat bhavet dvija. So that is why we call it rebirth. Why do we call it rebirth? Bhavet dvija. Why do we call it rebirth? Rebirth means now you are previous. And I will give an example for this. So once what happens, Brahmaji, he creates, from him is created Saraswati. And Saraswati is very beautiful. So Brahma gets attracted to Saraswati, but after a few seconds he realizes, oh my God, I got attracted to my own daughter. And Brahmaji got attracted to his own daughter, and if you read what happens next, Brahma gives up his body. So I was thinking, how does Brahma give up his body? Our Brahma is still there. He's not given up his body, but when Prabhupada explains, he says, Brahma gives up the mentality by which he got attracted, the base. You know, there is base, there is karma, there is lust. So he gave up that mentality of trying to enjoy. Because by default, our instinct, you know, you say animal instinct. Animal instinct means animal work on instinct. So they see something, they get attracted, that's it. You know, it's animal instinct. But human also can get to that level of instinct, but that is when the samskaras are not purified. So that is why Prabhupada said the world today is a royal edition of animals. Everything is based on instinct. I feel like, I do like. But then no, You cannot do everything as I feel like, I think like, I thought like. No. Everything has to be verified by Shastra. I think like this, I want to do this. I want to do this in our temple. I want to do this with devotees. No. Is it told in Shastra? Is it approved by Guru? Is it pleasing to the Lord? So we have to think very, very clearly. Just like there are so many foodstuffs which are forbidden. But even then, we sometimes use them, we sometimes eat them, and we offer it also. But is the Lord pleased? No. But we are just eating for our tongue. So it is not that everything that we do is pleasing to the Lord. So yet, like, just like not everything what everything was pleasing to Prabhupada, although Prabhupada liked so many things, but there were things that which displeased him also. So similarly, there are things which will displease the will displease the Lord. So similarly here, Brahma's example. So Brahma gave up the mentality by which he got attracted to Saraswati, and he never got attracted again. Because he gave up that mentality, he gave up that line of thought, that samskara, by which he was attracted to Saraswati. So similarly, what does it mean for us? So we are also, our mind is also, so in the Bhagavad Gita it says, just like air, when it passes through a garden, it picks up all the smell from all the flowers in that garden. And so similarly, the soul in many, many births, he picks up different habits, different mentalities, different thought processes, and they have formed what you are today. So you are today what is millions and millions of births, what you have experienced, what you have practiced. So Srila Prabhupada said, for example, Ravi Shankar, he practiced for 7 births the sitar, and then he became, in the 7th birth, he became successful. So he was somehow given a chance to practice sitar for 7 births. And all that practice was there in his mind. And in next life, immediately he could pick it up. So that was Krishna's special grace for him. So similarly, many people, like you would say, the Beatles in their previous life, they had so much good karma. So Prabhupada said, you are Shrestha, George Harrison. He had that much punya. And he had that singing skill. So this is given by the Lord. So similarly, what we are today, what we are given today, is a sum total. Our mentality is a sum total of what we have experienced in the past, what we have desired in the past, and here we are today. But that doesn't mean that whatever is our mentality today is that what is ideal for Krishna consciousness. So that is why in our Krishna consciousness movement, first what is given is the chanting, and then you are given regulative principles. So regulative principles means why and certain lifestyle. So waking up early, doing this. Why is that? Because our mind has earlier tendencies which we have cultivated from all our previous births, cultivated from all our interactions, from all, you know, previous lives and this life. So we have, that's why it character should be molded when somebody is young. Because when you are young, it's very easy to mold, but once you cross a certain age to actually change, you're saying that old dogs cannot learn new tricks. So it's very, very difficult sometimes to change. But if you see, what Brahma's story tells us, that Brahma could give up that mentality. How Brahma had that tapasya power. So similarly, when somebody is sense-controlled, mind-controlled, equipped with knowledge, detachment, equipped with proper knowledge and detachment. So when you have proper knowledge and you have detachment, because once you come to know that whatever I'm doing, suppose I'm addicted to a certain food. Some devotees, we are addicted to like paneer or this or that. So many different things we are addicted. But sometimes it may not be good for our health. Sometimes it may not be the way we cook or whatever we do. It may not be pleasing to the Lord. We want to do something which is pleasing to the Lord. So if you learn something more, so that my particular taste, my particular habit, my particular way of dealing things, it may not be compatible with the devotees. It may not be compatible and I may not be pleasing Guru and Krishna. So I have to change. I have to mold. But how is that possible? How can one change and mold himself? So that is where it comes. So that is where this Brahma's example comes, when Brahma was able to give up that mind, that mentality, you should be equipped with proper knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, where you are able to totally mold your character very, very quickly, where you are able to detach from that particular line of thought. Now, that is where purity comes in. So when you are purified, so that is why a culture, samskarat bhavet dvijaha, means you are a new person now. Samskarat bhavet dvijaha. You have a new mind. You have a new set of habits. So here is where you continuously purify. Here is where you continuously purify in this new body, in this new mind. And what happens is, as the mind, all the previous samskaras are getting purified. That which is unwanted. So that is called anartha nivritti. So that stage is called anartha nivritti, where you apply shastra, where you chant, where you read, where you practice, and over a period of time, this mind is completely cleared. And what is the next thing? Then this mind should not be left, there should not be a void. There should be good habits. So you should study shastra. So that is why it is said that the Srimad Bhagavatam is that nectarian juice that should fill the mind, that should fill this void. Because many a times what happens, for example, when we become devotees, we have addiction to TV, or previously, before becoming devotees. So we have so many other things, but we fill it up with so many activities. And then even when we are doing some activity, when we are trying to chant, when we are trying to read, when we are trying to perform any kind of devotional service, what happens? Our mind may not be concentrated. Our mind might not be concentrated. We might be thinking of so many things, because what is happening, all that impurities are there, and when we are trying to fill the mind, because mind is ethereal space, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether is the space in the mind. That's why sometimes when you are overloaded with thoughts, you cannot take it anymore, because it is also a limited space. So when in this space, there is a lot of garbage from the previous birth, habits, you know, they are formed, they are very strong. And when you are trying to replace them with artha pravritti, proper new habits, very difficult, because the mind is very strong. It's you are trying to get into a new habit, you are trying to fill up that space, you are trying to fill up your heart with all this nectar, you are trying to fill up the heart with new thoughts, new ideas. And so that is why you need discipline, because you have to, just like when you cook something, you need to heat it, you need to let it cool down, you need to do whatever is necessary for that to give the necessary texture and taste. So similarly, when you try to cook something into the mind, so there is two types of pitta in astrology. One is in the mind and one is in the belly. So you are trying to digest. So when you, that is why there is stages of understanding something and applying something. So that is Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. So when you hear something, and then Mananam, then you meditate on it. And that time what happens? All the other previous thoughts stand up. And then gradually you have to let it, you have to know the process. So devotee knows the process, so by which he gradually begins to cleanse the mind of these old thoughts, old habits. So then what happens? The mind sets in with a new set of thoughts, new mentality, and gradually you have to keep working so that you don't regress and you progress. So how do you regress? By committing Vaishnava offenses. How do you progress? By becoming humble and striving very hard to study the scripture, to chant, to read, to putting in your full effort with all sincerity, but with a goal in the hindsight to please Guru and Krishna. So we keep that very clear in our mind. And at that point what happens is that this samskarat bhavet vijaha. So when you give samskara, when you give, Guru gives the holy name, when he gives his power to chant, he takes away all the karma. So now, bad karma, by which you would have taken many, many future births. So when you take initiation, that is the beginning. So by that time you are practicing, but when you are connected to the parampara, the holy name is even more powerful. That is why we say we should not commit offenses. We should not commit offenses. We should not go back to our old habits. We should keep chanting. We should practice devotional service, by this time what happens? Anartha Nivritti. Then what happens? Artha Pravritti. And the same chanting which was there doing cleansing in our heart, but the same chanting then takes you to a higher level. And when all the nerves and everything is cleansed, in ISKCON, we see, we give the next level of initiation, we give the Gayatri initiation. So then when your nadis are cleansed, when your mind is cleansed, then you are able to chant this mantra. And when you chant that mantra, when it enters your heart, when it enters your system, you get newer and newer realization. So similarly, as your mind is cleansed, what happens? Jitatmanaha prashantasya paramatma samanitaha. So there is what is said is instinct. So we see there is instinct. So there is spiritual instinct. Jitatmanaha prashantasya paramatma samahitaha. So the Lord is within the heart. So Prabhupada says, people do certain activities by which the Lord within the heart is also getting displeased. For example, somebody is doing some gross sinful activity. The Lord is witness, the Lord is watching. So even he gets startled to look at that. So basically, when the Lord within the heart, he is guiding us. So the more the mind becomes clear, the more it becomes easier for us to follow Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, to follow the Lord. So a devotee means he gives up all unnecessary habits. So similarly we see Prithu Maharaj, if I execute my duty as per the scripture, then I will get the result as given in the scripture, but then in the end he says, but the destiny, the ultimate destiny is decided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is this? Because, for example, if you see, there were 640 million people in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And by law, by the Shastric law, those who die in the battlefield, they actually should go to Swargaloka. They should actually go to heavenly planet. But what happened in the battlefield of Kurukshetra was that everybody went back to Godhead. So although their destination according to scripture should have been heavenly planets, but what was their destination? Their destination was the spiritual world. Why? Because the Lord ultimately decides the destination. So we should do our duty as per the scripture and try to please the Lord, but the deciding factor is the pleasure of the Lord. So Krishna, because of his presence, he decided that everybody who dies in Kurukshetra, because by default, if you see, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita is Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. And it was Maharaj Kuru had created by his tapasya in that place, Kurukshetra, in such a way that anybody who dies there, by default, he goes to heaven. So anybody who died would have gone to heaven anyway. But by Krishna's mercy, everybody went back to Godhead. So, here, the importance is of three things. One, understanding the scripture clearly. So we can see Prithu Maharaj understood the scripture very clearly. He understood that executing one's duties as per the scriptures is very, very important. And that equips one with the proper knowledge, proper idea how to execute. The third thing was Prithu Maharaj also knew that if I execute, then he had faith in the scripture. So the next thing is, one should have faith, because nowadays there is a lot of this moon. So India went to Chandrayaan, they went to moon, they went to this. So many people question. But Srila Prabhupada said very, very clearly that you can never go to the moon. So we should have complete faith that what is going on, there is some confusion in it. It's not really the moon. And it's not really what is actually supposed to be the moon. So we should have complete faith in the scripture, even when most difficult things are said by the acharya, which ordinarily in the modern sense. So there is the heavenly planet, there is the spiritual world, there is the higher planets. So, and then we should have complete faith in the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And at the same time, we should realize that whatever we do, sometimes when we mentally picture doing something, sometimes what happens is we mentally picture we are doing something, you should always add the factor of, are you pleasing Krishna? So whatever activity you do, ultimately think, am I pleasing Krishna? This is the question we should always add, that whatever I'm doing now, whatever I'm speaking now, if you keep on adding that question, it's just like you are chanting for the pleasure of Krishna, you are eating for the pleasure of Krishna, you are thinking for the pleasure of Krishna, you are doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. So is the pleasure of Krishna the paramount goal in this activity? Or is it some kind of revenge or some kind of thing that I want to do? Is it something that is pleasing to Guru, Sadhu and Krishna? So basically, if we add this check and balance, that anything that I am doing, I'm doing it per scripture, I'm doing everything, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but am I pleasing Krishna? So in general, we see in your office, you are doing something, but you know your performance might be good or not, but ultimately if the boss is pleased, he will still give you a promotion, so you are trying to please the boss, right? So similarly, you are in this world, so we are trying to follow scripture, we are trying to do this or that. So we may be success or failure in trying to execute. But ultimately, if it has pleased Krishna, so Srila Prabhupada said, your endeavor may be successful or not. So we may try to do this, we may try to build temple, we may try to do this, but we may fail. We may fail. We want to do big preaching, we want to do big temple, we may fail. But ultimately, have you pleased Krishna in trying to endeavor to even do this? Just like the squirrel, Hanuman was throwing big rocks to build that bridge, and then that squirrel was throwing small rocks, and Hanuman started boasting to Lord, to that squirrel, what are you doing? I am throwing big rocks, your small stones are of no use. But the Lord Ram said, I am still pleased with the squirrel more, because you have the strength, you can put this, but the squirrel, even with this little strength he has put there, whatever the stones he can pick up, he is doing beyond his ability, and he is throwing. So the Lord was pleased that he is doing something beyond his ability. So sometimes we may think in our given situation, oh, I am not building big temples, I am not doing this, I am not doing that. But with our little situation, whatever we have done best, just like that squirrel, but we have pleased the Lord, then your endeavor is successful. And if we just keep this in mind, that whatever endeavor we do, little endeavor we do, but we do it with a heart, that with this little thing, this is all I can give you, Krishna. With all heart, if you really do it, then that is why devotion doesn't require you to do big things. But whatever you are doing, you do it to please the Lord with great love and satisfaction as per scripture. Now, I cannot do anything and say, oh, this is pleasing you. No. As per the desire of Guru and Krishna, I try my best. With the desire, Krishna, I have tried my best. I'm trying to please you, but with always in your mind that I want to please the Lord. If you have done that endeavor, then eventually when the Lord is pleased, it may be a big or small endeavor, it may be a successful or not endeavor, but ultimately when Lord is pleased, the endeavor is ultimately a success. Hare Krishna. So I will stop here. So any questions or comments are kindly welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, with lot of points to be meditating on our day-to-day life, and so that we can progress very nicely, Prabhuji. So, such a beautiful class, Prabhuji, very beautiful points. And no questions, Prabhu, but lot many things that I have learned from the class today, Prabhu. Thank you so much for enlightening this topic, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji? Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Pranam.
It's very beautiful class, very nicely. You have explained everything, and also nice guidance you also have given. I mean, just not nice, but it's perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. The class was very beautiful. And as you were talking about character building, which is the most important quality that a devotee must have, and that comes through sincere scriptural reading. I thought that was very beautiful. It was such a actually, that's probably the most important point of our entire Krishna consciousness. So thank you for that. Thank you very much for that, for reinstating that. And it was a very beautiful class. I have no questions, but I just wanted to appreciate that you brought it out. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji? Okay, Prabhuji, I want to ask one question. Prabhuji, you were talking that, you know, when the air carries the aroma of the, when air is going from the garden, it carries the aroma of all the flowers you are describing, right, Prabhu? Like we are carrying all the bad habits that we are passing from all these bodies. So how do we get rid of that mentality in our in us, Prabhu? So there is, even though we are practicing so much of devotional service, because of that tinge of that carrying going on from the different bodies, so we are having some issues sometimes. We might fall down, or sometimes we get into, you know, maya. So how do we get rid of this, Prabhu?
See, basically, I told this, I spoke about this day before yesterday class also. So basically, our focus is two main activities, always remember, offenseless chanting and systematic study of Bhagavatam. That is the basic, we should never forget. If you keep doing that, then change is guaranteed, then purification is guaranteed. But if you don't do these two activities sincerely every day, then everything else, Prabhupada said 99% of our spiritual progress is chanting, hearing and chanting. And our chanting should be followed up by systematic Bhagavatam study, because this purifies our thinking that is there, because we have certain ideas, thoughts, whatever. When the Bhagavatam thought enters into it, it purifies that thought. It removes that. It removes that ignorance. It removes that previous samskara. It removes that previous habits that we had. So both should go hand in hand. So these two things, if anybody is doing sincerely every day, hearing and chanting every day. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Bhakti Lata Bija, for that you need Shravanadi Jala. So you need water of hearing and chanting. So these, just focus on these two activities, systematic study of Bhagavatam and offenseless chanting. Then over a period of time, if you have done it very, very, you know, sincerely, over a period of time, definitely there will be purification. And Prabhupada said, even if you fall down, our only activity is get back to devotional service, get back to chanting, and get back to reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That really helps me, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any question? Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class and very nice point. Really helped me, Prabhu. It's really a very, very nice class. I really loved the class today, Prabhu, and also on Saturday. It was so beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your time. If there are nobody having any question, we would like to end the call here by offering obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpataru bhyasya pipa gindu bhyayeva chapatitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah ananta koti Vaishnavrindhi jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.